From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
The home of the White Sox.
ESPN 1000.
This is a Miller Lite, Waddle and Sylvie broadcast.
Live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills.
This is Chicago's home for sports. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Was that a McCaskey we met during the break?
Dude, was that a McCaskey here at Binney's Beverage Depot?
I don't think so. Why would it happen?
Well, someone came up to us during the... Where is he? Someone came up to us during the break and he said, there he is over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said, I happen to like Matt Nagy. And we said, why?
He's a wonderful guy.
He's like...
Wonderful guy.
And he says he keeps them together.
They're 3-6.
Well, he keeps them as Travis said, and we've joked, he's really good... while he's creating the crap storm of losses of keeping everyone together. Matt's even said that at the podium, he goes, you know what? We really stayed together during last year's six-game losing streak.
How do you like this 16-point-per-game average that we keep throwing at you?
We stay together despite being the worst offense in the NFL. You know, and after last year's six-game losing streak, which only the Jaguars and Jets had besides us, we're off to a really good start of sticking together during this four-game losing streak. You want to hear from Matt Nagy?
Sure. Yeah.
So the news.
Cheer us all up.
The news today is Khalil Mack. All right. So he runs down the injuries with Mack to IR and all the other stuff. Akeem Hicks, you'll listen to this from Matt Nagy a little while ago up at Hallis Hall.
All right. I'll get started today. We just got in from our red zone practice, roster moves that you have seen or will see. Cassius Marsh, we moved to that active roster. Bruce Irvin signed to their practice squad, and Danny Trevathan placed on IR. And then as far as game status with the Ravens, so Khalil will be going on IR and be out for the rest of the season. He will have surgery next week. So, you know, I appreciate it. I know with him, it's been, you know, the last several weeks just trying to get right. And this is, you know, I think we did everything as far as trying to attack it the right way with him. And I know he's put a lot of time and energy in trying to get back and see where things are at. But, you know, this is where we're at. So that'll be that with Khalil. Akeem Hicks will be out. Allen Robinson will be doubtful. Elijah Wilkinson will be questionable. Eddie Jackson questionable, and Damian Williams questionable. So that's that with the injury report. And then Deion Bush, I'd say there's a strong possibility that we'll be bringing him up and activating him off of the IR with Deion. So there's a little bit of the injury report for you.
So there's a lot there.
It's not
good. The big news is Mack is out for the year. And then, of course, Akeem Hicks is out for this game, and A-Rob is doubtful. So Nagy then was followed up. Hey, what is this injury with Mack that he's having surgery on next week?
Well, his is getting into his toe. So, it's part of the foot, and it's stuff that he's been, again, dealing with. And we've been for weeks, he's trying to get through it. And this is, you know, through him and our doctors and everybody else, this is a part of the game, and you try to, you know, handle things the right way. And I know he's frustrated because he's such a competitor, but this is the best thing, you know, for him and the best situation to be able to help him out and get it fixed.
The toe is a part of the foot.
It is. I didn't know
that was good by Matt Nagy.
It's not anyone's problem or fault. It's all of our fault or something of that. Look, it is not a good day when you have to put your best defensive player on the shelf for the rest of the year. I think it is an interesting conversation about
best defensive player or best player?
Your best player, yeah. But certainly your best defensive player as well. Look, I'm sure that there are many people that say, well, he doesn't have as many sacks as T.J. Watt. Okay, that's fair. But when you factor in everything, the sacks, the quarterback pressures, the forced fumbles, the fumble recoveries and everything else, I think it was worth making the trade when they did.
Yeah.
The fact that they weren't able offensively to support their defense is an entirely different conversation that's not related to Khalil Mack.
And then so they expanded on that. He's been playing with this, as JD told us, since the Cleveland game. When he's had some sacks on that bad foot that's ultimately ending his year. So Matt Nagy was asked the question, did playing through this foot injury make this worse?
No, it's not that. It's you know, in sports in general and in this contact sport like this, you're going to get, you know, injuries. And so every person's a little bit different. And again, the details that he has with our trainers and doctors and what he's been through day to day is on them and where it's been to. I just know that the big picture for him and for us is that he fought like hell to try to get through that pain, you know, that you have. And then there's the medical side of it. There's one thing to play through pain. There's another thing to make it worse, you know?
That's why I was going to ask, did the pain get too much or was there fear that it would get worse if he kept playing?
Probably a little bit of both.
And in retrospect, do you wish he would not have played through it?
No, that's not. No, for him and for us and everything we've done, I mean, he's, again, for all of us, you just get to a point where you're trying to play and make the right decision each week for him, strictly for him. And whatever he's able to do for himself will help us if he can play. But then there comes the physical part of it, you know, the anatomy part of it, and I think that's where we're at.
Is it fair to suggest or think that playing through it while valiant did not help?
I don't think so. I don't know that exact answer. You'd probably have to ask the doctors and Khalil. But I appreciate him. We all, you know, all these guys right now at this point in time are playing through injuries. Some are more significant than others, so you'd have to ask them.
He's a tough dude. The problem has been he's had a lot of these injuries that he's had to play through that has limited him. It hasn't really hurt his availability, I don't think, a lot until this year.
No.
But it's hurt his production in 19.
The fact that he has to have foot surgery tells you that it was probably highly unlikely that he was going to be able to continue to play and contribute. So this is the right thing to do. And he's played through a lot of other nicks and bruises, the way a lot of guys have.
A lot of back stuff, too, recently.
I've heard people tell me, at least going back before the start of last year, that based on his age as well and his usage rate, because if you go back and you look at him, like, he's always been durable. Going back to his 4 years in Oakland, he never missed a game. He missed two games in 2018, and I think that was, you know, they were being cautious with him. He played every game in 19 and 20. So coming into the 2021 season, he'd missed two games in, like, his first 7 years in the league.
Yeah.
And I think his usage rate as well, they were finally trying to, to taper off a little bit, and they were being a little bit more judicious, I think, with having him play percentage of snaps. And I think you look at a lot of guys, especially guys that are at 30, you know, to keep them fresh and keep them efficient and effective, you kind of cut their reps a little bit, and they were finally starting to do that. And unfortunately, now he's got an injury that needs surgery.
Joe in Kenosha, you're on with Waddle and Selby. What's up, Joe?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show, guys.
Thank you.
Doing a heck of a job, as usual. No, I think overall that was a good trade. I don't think you can't lap the overall lack of success on his shoulders. We need to look at, for that, you need to look at the general manager and the coach. And I think you guys do that regularly. So I think that caller who was trying to tie everything together, it needs to catch the bus back from Neptune.
Is there a bus that's running back and forth from Neptune? Look, this is, you know, I've said this a lot. You're probably tired of hearing it, but, like, Ryan Pace had the potential, had the opportunity to make that trade for Khalil Mack because they had a rookie quarterback. They were set up so that he could make that trade. It just made...
Because of the salary cap, you're
correct,
saying, right?
Correct, the salary cap.
So Mitch is cheap. You're on your rookie deal. You're good with the cap. Let's go out and get the best pass rusher, and let's pay him more than any pass rusher has ever made.
And if you think that you've got your quarterback of the future, then the first-round pick for a couple of years, while it's not ideal, it may be worth it. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you've got a young quarterback playing on a rookie deal, and your quarterback who's an offense, or your coach who's an offensive-minded head coach who can get the most out of that quarterback, develop him and the offense, it just – good organizations make stuff like that work.
They're not 12-4 that year if Khalil Mack's not here.
He was the best player, defensive player in football that year.
Do you remember when we weren't sure what they were going to be in 18? We weren't expecting that. And then even though they lost that game, it was still a really tough loss. They come out at Green Bay. And Khalil Mack in that first half, the way, but did he intercept a pass and nearly run it back for a touchdown, if not for the touchdown? Fumble recoveries, he's all over the way. That first year, the way he would not only sack the quarterback, but he would end up going for the football nearly every time.
See, listen, if you want to make the case that T.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, just for a couple of examples, I can't think of anybody else over the stretch of the last 4.5 years have been better than him.
Chandler Jones?
Possibly, but he's been sketchy. I don't think he's been as consistent. I mean, his highs have been ridiculously high, but I think he's missed some time. I think you can make a case that there have been a couple of guys who have been better.
Myles Garrett?
Possibly, and certainly, you know, more recently. But the point I'm making is whether you're trading for the best pass rusher in the league or the fourth best pass rusher in the league. And the price is what the price was. I personally don't have a problem
with
it.
And what was it, 2 first-round picks? Like, to me, you're lucky if you spend 1 first-round pick when you draft and he turns out to be a star. More times than not, 1 out of every 2 first-round picks fail. So if you're telling me you're getting a superstar for 2 first-round picks,
right.
I was good with the compensation.
And, not just
and I'm still good with it.
Yeah, and not just that, but if you are doing the things you're supposed to be doing, those first-round picks are going to be in the bottom third of the first round.
And they were that first year in 18.
They were. So, like, if you're telling me I can give up the 25th pick in 1 year and the 26th pick the next year, and I get Khalil Mack, who's one of the top 3 pass rushers in the NFL over a stretch of time, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I am. It hasn't worked out. But that, to me, is more a product of them not being able to fix their offense than it was stuff that had to do with their defense.
Joe in Kenosha, you're on ESPN 1000. I'm sorry, Joe in Virginia, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey, so I'm going to my first Bears game on Sunday. I'm super excited, but I am pretty bummed about the Mac news.
Well, there was probably, there was a good chance he wasn't going to play this game, but the fact that he's not going to be available for the final 8 certainly is not a good thing.
Yeah. And I will say, I think the trade was still good overall. I still loved that play last year when he sacked Brady and just, you know, hip tossed Tristan Wirfs. I thought that was incredible.
Yeah, I remember that. Is this your first Bears game in person, or have you been to Soldier before?
So I live in Virginia, so I've been to a couple of games where they played Washington, but this is my first game on the lakefront, and I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
I'm interested in hearing, Joe, call back on Monday, because with all the stadium talk lately, I want to hear about your experience as a first-timer, what you think about the environment at Soldier Field, okay?
Okay, will do. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, give yourself Joe. Plenty of time to get in and out of the stadium.
Joe, and we're leaving at 9:45.
By the way, just real quick. Again,
and we're not tailgating. I have a 7 and 5 year old. We're not tailgating.
Should be shotgun and beers.
But what are you looking at me like that, JR? What is it? What?
That's ridiculous, man. 9:45 just to get there and get in without like.
Well,
no,
I mean, it takes a half hour to get through the gates there, you know.
Yeah.
And what, from the burbs to the city.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It could be 45 minutes on a good day. Then once you get like off the highway, it depends how you go. Are you looping around taking 55? Are you going off and getting off at Roosevelt and taking it down to Columbus and Lakeshore? Like, we're Columbus and Lakeshore, for the people who live in the city or have been there, you know what I'm talking about. Columbus and Lakeshore, they merge into one road. So you have all these people, there are two ways to go from the north. And you're coming in from Columbus, and you're coming in from Lakeshore, and they merge into one, and then the exit for Soldier right is on the right. So you have all these people from the left merging as it is, and then they got to get all the way over into the right-hand lane.
Your guy over there feels that Coach Nagy does a good job directing the traffic, though.
And he thinks Soldier Field has a great artery system, right?
Yeah.
Traffic good getting into Soldier?
It's a relentless Friday.
He's the sunshine in our broadcast
today. It's fantastic.
We're going to call you. Can we call you Sunshine We could use it. It is a nice day today, a nice Friday day, except for the cold. I saw Waddle doing something yesterday that I could not believe.
It's a daily occurrence.
There's two things from Waddle that I observed from him yesterday that, as long as I've known him, actually surprised me. And it was at Randy Merkin's book signing, and Randy just stopped by to deliver some coffee. I'll tell that story, and if you want to talk Bears with us, Jay's going to join us later in the show, 312-332-3776. If you're in the northern burbs, we're at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. Got a great crowd here, giving away Bears and Ravens tickets. It's all brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite.
Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie live from Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time.
Let the Miller Lite flow.
We're on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
A lot of great people here. We saw one Bears fan wearing a Kyle Orton jersey. We saw Jeff, our property tax attorney.
Somebody just came and gave you money.
Yeah, literally.
I just met a guy that bought my my first townhouse in Buffalo Grove. He said he turned the third floor into something and made significantly more money than he bought for.
Wait, so he bought your your exact townhouse?
Yeah.
You bought Waddle's townhouse? Do you still live there? No?
No.
What kind of condition did Waddle can he speak into a microphone? What kind of condition did Waddle leave it in?
Perfect.
Just talk right into that microphone.
The condition was fantastic. See?
Any beers in the wall and like no?
No, the bathroom and the basement was finished. It was in immaculate condition.
Look at you.
Immaculate.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you got now your sword.
I had some gold stashed in one of the walls. So, I mean, if you didn't get it, then
good to see you. So we know two people who have lived in Waddle's former houses.
Yes, that's right.
They're not. I wouldn't
you
call them. We got to come
Fox.
Up with a term like similar to Eskimo brothers. Like what would that?
Excuse me?
What would that term be for someone who's lived in someone else's
property
house?
Brothers?
Property Brothers is a good one, named after the show, right?
If you say so, yeah.
So we now know two people who used to live in
that's right.
John Fox and that guy.
That's correct.
In separate heads. That's cool.
That's right.
That's really cool. So Randy Merkin is here. He had his book signing
well done,
yesterday.
Merk. And your hair looked fabulous yesterday. It still does. Yeah.
It was a great gathering, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Great showing by everybody. Merk gave a nice speech as well. His family was there.
It was a great speech,
it
Merk.
It was great, yeah.
BehindTheGlassTheBook.com to buy the book. I got two, one for Braxton, one for Mason. He signed both of them. And I'm sure, Randy, you'll sign any of them. You buy them, find Randy, or mail them to the station. I'm sure I'll mail it right back.
Can I give you a book review as well? I read probably 15 or 20 of the stories. It was awesome. It was a trip down memory lane for me for some of them, and then I read some of the other stories from when you were working with other people.
Because you know great. He doesn't remember any.
He's great.
He's
fantastic.
He's like, oh, this
yeah, it was. Yeah.
He was.
Did we really have Pete Rose on for lunch? No, I'm joking. Yeah, it was lunch and lunch.
Did you have you read the Rick Ankiel story yet?
That was one that I skimmed that okay. We turned him down.
You turned him down.
Yeah.
He turned Rick Ankiel
yes,
down.
Yes, remember he was a great pitcher and he came back as a hitter.
Right. A great story. He
had the game winning hit. Okay, we had just gotten back from Bourbonnais.
Yeah.
I found him in the hotel, okay? And I called him up because when players just come up with a team, they always put him up in a team hotel. So I found him in St. Louis and he had a big, big hit to win the game and I said, "Will you come on?" He's like, "Man, I'm about to go eat lunch." He goes, "All right. Go ahead." I said, "Give me 5 minutes. We're going to break." He's like, "5 minutes." And I go in and I said to Waddle, I'm like, "Hey, do you want to do, let's do Rick Ankiel." I just found him. And Waddle's like, "Eh." And then you came in. You're like, "Nah, not really."
We're talking to Bears out of Bourbonnais, right?
Yeah.
Was
right,
that my
yeah.
Right?
Then,
we had a Bears butt.
And then Waddle goes, "Give it to Chet. Yeah. Chet can tape it for the weekend." So yeah. I go, "Chet, grab your stuff. We can go tape Rick Ankiel." He goes, love the idea, Merk. Give me 20. Get prepared. I said, "No,
yeah,
there's
got
not,
20.
There's
five.
Nothing to be prepared. We got to go right now." And he's like, "Give me at least 5. And then by the time I Chet got set up. You know how long it took Chet to get set up. And
Rick Ankiel was
gone. He was gone.
Oh, it's good, though.
That's the one that got away.
Yeah. I mean,
Don't, he's the one that got away.
I mean, that was a huge story at the time. You guys probably don't
the
remember.
The Pete Rose story is fantastic.
How we're on the air today still, I don't know.
I know.
Without putting Rick and Keel on that day.
Listen.
Had the game-winning hit against
that's
the Cubs.
That's what sports is all about, Silby.
That's the essence of what your book is all about as well. The inside stories of some successful guests and some not so successful.
Yeah, but thank you guys all for coming.
Yeah,
it was
so
awesome.
Yesterday, a couple funny stories, at least that I find humorous, that sums him up to a T. And I wasn't drinking. Waddle and I have been vibing recently, too, with this cold. The two of us have not handled the early winter.
Really?
I'm good with, like, cool days in November, and we had a really good fall.
Uh-huh.
I'm not complaining.
Plenty.
Right.
Like, we had a really good fall up until about 2 weeks ago, and then it turned and it got bad. I think the wind chills are supposed to be like in the 10 degrees on Monday morning.
Wow.
This morning was really cold. I've been really tired. It's really cold.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, you're right. I'm tired too. And I think this is sucking the energy out of me. And then it turns out we're all comparing winter jackets yesterday, Clan Company, at your book.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, I got a puffy coat on. JR's got his puffy coat on.
Puffy coat night
We're comparing puffy coats. Our old boss, Jim Pastor's there. Keith Williams, our new boss there, saying, well, do you really have to have a puffy coat? Uh-huh. I have a parka at home. Do we need a puffy coat? And we look at Waddle. We're like, where's your coat? He's like, I don't have a coat.
No, he said it was at home.
Uh-huh.
Why do you think he's been so tired and so cold? Because he's going outside and he's not wearing a damn coat.
Had a hooded sweatshirt and this over top of it. I had three layers.
No wonder he's so damn cold.
I had three layers yesterday, Mark.
Yeah.
I misjudged.
But you weren't really walking that far. No. You're walking from parking lot.
But if you're complaining that you're so damn cold and it's sucking the energy out of you, wouldn't you think that the first thing you do, he's the dude who tells Wayne Larrabee to bring a coat from Green Bay. So now here he is complaining about the cold, how it's zapping the energy out of him, and he's not wearing a coat.
What's the worst line? Waddle telling Wayne Larrabee to bring a jacket or you telling Ryan Dempster to keep on pitching?
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, maybe if I would have told Mark Pryor to keep on pitching, he would have kept on pitching.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think both enunciate an obvious, but sometimes the obvious needs to be enunciated.
Right. Right.
I think I got stuck with Dempster that time when I said, all right, Ryan, thank you. Keep on pitching. I think they were in the midst of a losing streak.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, like, keep on winning, keep on keeping on, I said, keep on pitching.
Yeah.
I think I got stuck.
You take the L and move on.
I called Aaron Andrews.
That's true.
And that's
that's
not a bad thing either. That happens.
Yeah. And then the other one was Waddle is just like yelling at the television screen yesterday. And he's been saying, I've been so bad at gambling. And next thing you know, he's got money on Louisville Duke football last night.
Wow. What possession?
I won $9 last night.
Which side did you have, Louisville?
I had a parlay, same game parlay. Uh-huh. I had Malik Cunningham, the Louisville quarterback, over 45 rushing yards.
Oh, he got that easily.
And Duke over 16.5 points.
Whoa.
Boom. Layup.
What did Duke end up with?
22.
But that's not really a layup. That's one more score.
If you do it on a percentage basis, I think it's probably a layup.
Okay.
What else?
What did you miss on? You were very frustrated.
You had Duke plus 27.
But I also, in the middle of the game...
I've never heard someone cheer for Duke football.
That's what I said.
Maybe Pat Manley, but not like Waddle was last
night. How is that even enjoyable?
Have you never gambled before? It doesn't matter who you're gambling on.
You pick a side
and you cheer for them.
It is the same amount of money, but...
Yeah.
But I did find it funny, Mr. No Jacket complaining about how he's so bad at gambling, that he's putting same-game parlays down on Duke-Louisville.
That's why it's fun, though,
right? That's right,
buddy. I know.
For giggles.
By the way, can I give you a tease for the odds couple tonight? Right in the middle of our segment with the prop swap guy, Luke Pergani. He's awesome, the owner of prop swap. Carmen and North got into a 6 or 7 minute heated, and I mean heated debate.
Did Carmen get angry on
Mitch Trubisky? Where Carmen finally said, "I've had it. Stop talking about Mitch Trubisky every week." And North fires back at him. It's like seven. I had to
I love it.
I had to jump in and say, can you guys
can
stop,
can we replay
please?
That?
Can we get it? Yeah, I think. Can we,
I mean, you don't want to play 7 minutes.
Yes, I do.
I would like a sampling of okay. that. Now, maybe not 7 minutes, Black, but like, give me a couple
it's
of
in, it. It's in this.
Like, it is nuts what North has been doing with mm-hmm. this Mitch Trubisky. I don't know. I think he's been watching Josh Allen film,
and he thinks
it's Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. Tom, do you think, or Sylvie, do you guys think he's going to get $15 to $20 million next year?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's what Mike said.
$15 to $20 million what?
For a year.
For what?
Money?
For
a year. You're talking about dollars?
Yes, that's what Norris says Trubisky's going to get next
what
year.
What has he done this year that would raise his price?
I don't know. I'm just.
Like, look, if you thought he was mismanaged, you sign him coming out of Chicago.
Right.
Why would you now sign him for $15 million?
Would you rather have Andy Dalton or would you rather have Mitch?
I'd rather have Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton got 10.
Yeah.
You know?
For 1 year.
Yeah, for 1 year, right.
Like maybe Mitch will get a few million more just because they think, okay, he's been rehabbed. And
right.
Yeah. But
5, 7 million,
why would you give
maybe?
Him? Why would you give him anything other than a one-year prove-it deal and a chance to compete?
Right. You wouldn't.
And again, remember quarterback records, because it's something that people reference all the mm-hmm. time. Quarterback records, their win-loss records, very deceiving stat in a lot of ways. Again, I go back to the game, you know, that's the Bucks and the Raven or the Rams played, where the Rams beat the Bucks and Tom Brady threw for 400 yards and five touchdowns. Brady gets the L for that. They didn't lose that game because of Tom Brady. So just be careful using the win-loss record as the one qualifying thing for a quarterback.
You've heard of beer goggles. Does North have Trubisky goggles?
I think so.
Where when
I
he watches a Cowboys game and he sees Dak, that he thinks it's Trubisky?
Trubisky, it might be. I don't know. I mean, Tommy, you brought that. How about in the Super Bowl? Ben Roethlisberger's credit with 2 Super Bowl wins. His first win, I think he threw for like 110
yards.
He was terrible. So.
It was a Jerome Bettis Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So a lot of these guys have done it on that rookie deal. That's why it's so important, because you could build your team that way. Like Waddle said about Mitch, and here's vital now that if Justin Fields, after year one, you know that he could be the guy and you have him under your control for 4 years, now you can add with his salary.
Yeah, and I think that, look, I think we all agree. I mean, what happened here wasn't solely Mitch's fault. The coaching staff did not do a good job of accentuating the things he did do well. He just didn't do enough well to take you to where you needed to go.
So Carm texted us. Is this readable on the air? I'll read that to start Waddle's World next.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
so,
good.
And well, let's pull that before the end of the show. Thanks, let's play North and Carmen arguing about Mitch Trubisky. Give you a little tease of the odds couple tonight at 7 o'clock. Right?
Yeah, 7 right o'clock. After Black and Abdallah. Yep.
All right. We're coming back. We're live at Binney's Beverage Depot. Come on by. We're here for another 2.5 hours. Stock up on your Miller Lite for the weekend and sign up to go to the Miller Lite Loft for Bears-Ravens tickets. We're giving away a pair before we leave here. We're at Binney's Beverage Depot, Vernon Hills. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Binney's in Vernon Hills, it's Miller Time with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Good to see you. A lot of great people here, right, Waddle?
Yeah,
a lot of great people.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So you can see a Ditka jersey. We got a Justin Fields jersey. A lot of people that we know. I mentioned that there is a Kyle Orton jersey, right? I already mentioned that. So
well, Kyle Orton is here.
A lot of good
down.
Bears gear.
Kyle Orton has made an appearance.
So stock up for the weekend with some Miller Lite. And see us at Binney's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills.
Do we have any of that audio with Carmen?
Do you want it right? I'll read you the text. You need it right now, or are we not doing one?
It needs to be sent to it. It's not in the audio system at the moment, so right. I think later the guys put that show together, and then they put it in the system, and then we may have access to it.
Totally.
Correct. So we could get it before 6, though, correct?
What did Carmen have to say?
I don't know. Ask Merkin would know, so
Merkin,
he's the one to ask.
Merkin, it's not in the system. You got to call Black and get the stuff in the system. It's upstairs, and a lot of technical behind-the-scenes stuff here.
Get it in the system.
Carmen texted. I don't know if he says, we finally had it out, North and me. I lost it when he said I wanted Andy Dalton to play.
I don't recall that being the case.
I've been more anti-Andy than just about anyone. I couldn't take it anymore. It was funny. So I can't wait to hear North and Carmen. And when Carmen turns, Carmen could be set off by the we've always done the bet. Carm, bad news for you. I was just telling you the property tax attorney's here. Your property taxes just went up by $50,000. Next year you're paying $75,000, Carm. No big deal. Yeah, you know, what am I going to do with my money? I work for it, and I got to spend it, right? I would spend it on something else. Hey, Carm, North said that Trubisky's going to be good. What the fuck?
Excuse me?
Wait, oh.
What the?
Can you dump that, please? I tried to stop short. I got too involved in the character.
That truly was a good Carmen imitation, though. That was.
I don't know what
did
happened.
Did you just
then.
Say the that full could have been, word?
No, I think I still stopped short.
I heard the full word, I think.
Well, thank you for standing up for me.
The problem is that second, that last syllable, you know, you can stop
I don't think
midway.
It was the full
yeah,
word.
Yeah, it was close. We'll have to review that one, yeah.
Well, it got dumped anyway.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's not as bad as I spelled a bad word once on the air several
you
years
did.
Ago.
You yeah. did. Yeah. You did.
It happens, man.
Error on me, that's for sure. So we'll get that for you.
We will. Would you like some Waddle's World type of stuff?
Yes, I will.
Yeah, Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. We start with the Bulls at the Nugs tonight. You dialed into Bulls and Nugs?
Yes, I am definitely, and it's an 8 o'clock start, right?
Yes.
So it's not as late as the games that we've been. We had a 9 against Portland. We had a 9 against the Clippers. So it's nice tonight. I've got a little dinner after this, and then I will be fully invested in the Bulls. And
all right,
it's a big weekend with Bulls on Friday and then Bulls-Knicks at home on Sunday.
So give me some advice now, oh great gambler. The Bulls are a 1.5 underdog. That has changed. I thought it was 4. Am I reading
so
this correctly?
So we got some sharp money coming in on the Bulls?
We may.
Look, I would play the Nugs. I don't know if there's been injury news there.
I don't see it.
But and then I would happily take the L on my bet for a Bulls W.
Nugs you know have lost I mean? 2 in a row. But this is one of those games if the Joker is upright and able to go. This is one of those teams that you would expect to give the Bulls some trouble because of their issues inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see. 8 o'clock tip for that one. As we said earlier, Khalil Mack has been put on a season-ending IR list. I don't believe Akeem Hicks is going to be available this weekend. I also believe that Allen Robinson is very, very up in the air. I think he's listed as doubtful. He didn't practice today.
Didn't practice all week.
Eddie Jackson limited and is questionable for this game. So the Bears are going to have some issues involved. Bruce Arians says that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did their due diligence regarding the Antonio Brown vaccination status issue. When asked if there was... there were some issues, none whatsoever, Arian said. We did our due diligence. The league will do theirs. The statement says everything. I really don't think it's a story, and it has nothing to do with the Giants game. When it was brought up that the player health and safety does impact every game, considering Brown missed week 3 due to a positive COVID-19 test, Arian's quipped, no, it doesn't. It has nothing to do with the Giants game. So
laser focus from the coach. Did he defend him at all?
It doesn't sound like he defended him at all. He just basically took the attention away from Antonio Brown and placed it on the Giants game. Aaron Rodgers back to practice. Remember, he missed the last couple of days, I think, with a toe injury. They take on the Vikings. I think that I may actually pick the Vikings in this.
I flirted
game.
With that, but then I couldn't do it.
I know. It's...
What is it, 1.5 that the Packers are favored?
The line on this game, I'm not 100% sure at the moment.
It's a good weekend of football, though.
It is. Limited today, said LaFleur. He looked good throwing the football, confident that he'll be in a good place on Sunday. Obviously, Rodgers did not practice yesterday or
it's at one
Wednesday.
Right now. The Packers are a point, so basically a pick.
I'm telling you, the Packer defense has been one of the most pleasant surprises. We gave the stats the last 3 weeks. They've faced Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson, and albeit Russell Wilson was coming back after being gone for a while, and I think you could still see some effects from the finger injury on his throwing hand. But their defense, despite not having Za'Darius Smith, their best pass rusher, and Jair Alexander, their best cornerback, they have still kept all of these teams in check. It's been a great story so far for that Packer defense.
So you have that Vikings-Packer game. You obviously in the noon window of the Bears game. Then you have the Cowboys-Chiefs game, which is the game of the weekend. Cardinals-Seahawks should be juicy, right?
Yes.
Steelers-Chargers isn't a bad game. And I think the Giants-Bucks game could be sneaky good, depending on how, the Bucks got upset last week to Washington. So we'll see how the Giants play.
Interested to see what Carmen has to say with a lot of these games. Going back,
I'm not doing any more Carmen impersonations.
Okay, the Cowboys and Chiefs game, like you said, I think is probably the one that's going to get the most attention. How about how bad the Chiefs defense has been or was earlier in the season? They're allowing less than 13 points per game and 300 yards per game during their winning streak. They've won three in a row. They were averaging 29 points given up and 405 yards given up through the first seven games. So they have found some defense on their end. It should be a really good game. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to ride with the Chiefs, though, but we'll see how that one rolls.
I think any bold statement you make about the NFL, it's like the weather here.
It's hard.
It could change in a month.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You want to make some proclamation statement about a team, a month later it could be the exact opposite.
Yeah, and like who's really good in week 9 or week 10 of the season may not even be relevant when you get 4 or 5 weeks down the road. Like we haven't had the discussion yet who's really good.
Yeah, like, let's do that at 4.
The Bills pounded the Jets, but the Bills didn't look great. The Jets looked like they were just, They weren't interested in playing. You can make the case that the Patriots in the AFC, the Patriots and the Titans have been the two most impressive teams the last several weeks. Chiefs obviously got some things done. But, yeah, I think you look at what's going on in the NFL these days, and it's hard to really put your finger on who's great, who's not. But, like, these days, more than in years gone by, I think teams, I won't say they pace themselves, but they're not – I think they take steps to kind of make sure they're going to be okay the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Of course.
So I don't believe that Jared Goff is going to be – or he wasn't at practice today, I don't believe. So if you're a Lions fan, I don't know why. You need to get some help for that. But I don't believe Jared Goff –
does that help them or hurt them?
It's a good question. Doesn't practice. He's listed as doubtful in their game against the Cleveland Browns. Do you know who their backup is?
I do not know.
Tim Boyle. We all know a Tim Boyle, don't we? I mean, like, that's a
well,
it's kind
we know
of a
good time.
Name.
We know a good time. Patty Boyle.
Yes. By the way, good time Patty Boyle is the one that sent me all these football notes today. I haven't said thank you, so I'll say it right now. Thank you, good time.
Where's Patty Boyle getting his hands in some good football nuggets like that?
Probably through the NBC folks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he on the email chain with Tirico and Dungy and Al Michaels and everybody?
I think he has eliminated those names from the email he forwarded to me because he doesn't trust me. But I think that he is on that, yes, the Sunday Night Football group. So that is kind of a recap of what's transpiring this weekend in the NFL. When we come back, I will bring you a couple of nutty stories, including the nuttiest story of the day, thanks to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Live from Benny's Beverage Depot in Vernon Hills, this is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, presented by Miller Lite.
We're on twitch.tv. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Let the Miller Lite flow.
Hey, if you're traveling for Thanksgiving, are you traveling for Thanksgiving?
We are not, no. We are in town for Thanksgiving. What about you?
I may be going to Boston.
Oh, really?
Thanksgiving, yeah. Thanksgiving travel is going to be a mess, from what I understand. And we're supposed to get like some sort of crazy storm next week that is supposed to follow us from the Midwest to the Northeast.
We're supposed to get a snowstorm.
I think we're getting something. We're getting something really not fun.
Have you been studying the weather maps?
Don't you know that I'm a weather person? That's what they've said. There's going to be a storm in the Midwest that's going to screw with a lot of the Thanksgiving travel. So
I'm looking at these phone apps. Mine says right here, Wednesday, cloudy, 46. Okay. Thursday, partly sunny, 45. Friday, partly sunny, 36. Let me look on something more detailed here. Boys, have you heard anything about some big storm coming next week?
Did Tracy? I have not, no.
See.
Storm watchers.
My Dark Sky app has none of that either. There's some possibility of some wind on Wednesday, Waddle.
Ooh, I mean,
wind. They've got the windmill icon. Doesn't say 31% chance of rain at 48 degrees. Thursday, 47 with a 3% chance of rain. Maybe you got wrong information, which I'm hoping.
Very possible, but I believe there is a storm that is supposed to.
Tracy, if you're listening, call into the show. What's Waddle talking about?
Maybe going to the Northeast as well, where I'm going to be traveling. So.
Let me look at Boston here.
What's Boston got?
Go ahead. You talk.
The longest lunar eclipse in centuries will happen this week. I believe this already happened, correct? Am I right about this? The nearly total lunar eclipse is expected overnight. Yes, this happened yesterday, November 18th through Friday, November 19th.
If you're going back in your time machine, look out.
That's right. The moon will be so close to opposite the sun November 19th, that is today, that it will pass through the southern part of the shadow of the Earth for a nearly total lunar eclipse. The eclipse will last 3 hours, 28 minutes, and 23 seconds, making it the longest in centuries. How about that? So we've just gone through the process of that. The longest lunar eclipse in centuries.
I've tried to go outside for, like, the blood moon and for these different types of things that we get, and I've never seen it.
Stare right into the sun. Will you see
yeah, I know you'd love
how
it.
That happens?
You know, you'll be able to stare right into the sun in Boston because at least my extended weather outlook, Wednesday, it's a full sunshine sky of
perfect
43 degrees for Thanksgiving. It's partly sunny and 50. For the Friday after Thanksgiving, partly sunny and 50. Saturday, partly sunny and 45. And Sunday, partly sunny, 48.
Ooh.
I have not seen any sort of storm, but it could change. Maybe
yes.
You have.
Be careful. Be careful
maybe
out
you
there.
Have, you've heard it somewhere. I don't know where.
And how about the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey a Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Tourist having sex in the dunes is ruining a Spanish beach.
So, okay, so there's this beach with dunes,
yeah.
And they're enjoying the sand.
Don't be doing the nasty in there, okay, because it's ruining the dunes. There's too much traffic there because it is a local tourist hotspot. Tourists having sex is said to be behind the gradual destruction of a beach and nature reserve in Europe.
Wait, are they saying the actual action of that is ruining
too
the beach?
Too many people, yes.
They go there, they seek it out for that?
Yes. On the Spanish island of Gran Canaria, is known for its wild sand dunes rippling out behind its lighthouse perched on the seafront, regularly tops the list of things to see on the island. Its dunes, which have been legally protected since 1982, one of the last remaining shifting dune systems in Europe, providing a resting spot for birds migrating between Africa and Europe. But now it's providing a different kind of rest spot.
While different type of wildlife.
Taking to the dunes and getting busy. So if you're going to be there, if you get there, if the weather's not bad enough, and you can fly out of Chicago next week for Thanksgiving.
For the storm that Waddle's
yeah,
talking
that's
about.
That's what you got. So... that's all I got for you. It's a pretty light day when it comes to weird stories and all kinds of other crazy stuff. So really all I can bring to you today on this Friday afternoon.
Do you know what today is on one of the worst moments in NBA history? The anniversary is today. I'll give you an early what to watch for because I've given you this before. But 17 years ago today.
Malice at the Palace?
Malice at the Palace.
Still
right?
haven't
I mean,
seen it.
Can you guys think of another worse moment in an actual game than that? Like, there's the Juan Marichal play, right? Didn't he hit someone with a bat? There's Rudy Tomjanovich getting hit with a chair.
No, he got hit in the face by Kermit Washington.
Oh, was there a chair, or did he just punch?
Punched by Kermit Washington.
But like the Malice at the Palace, I'll never forget all night. I was out that night, and that's all they kept playing over and over and over on every screen on television. And there's, I told people a few weeks ago, there's a really good documentary that they made on this that includes every participant of Malice at the Palace. It's on Netflix.
There are two moments that I wish we had Twitter for, and it's that and the O.J. Simpson chase. Those are the two.
The chase or the trial?
The chase.
The chase?
Yeah.
I mean, in Malice at the Palace, do you remember watching that live? Or at least, like, in the soon after moments?
Yeah, soon after. But the reason I say, I wish Twitter was around, because you would have had everybody, like, everybody would have instantly pulled out their phones and started filming.
Right.
So you'd have all of these personal videos from people.
Yes.
That were there filming it while it was happening.
Jermaine O'Neal was behind the documentary, and he always felt he got a raw deal. So it's from his perspective. But Jermaine O'Neal, Ron Artest, Reggie Miller, you forget Reggie Miller was not playing in that game. It was Pacers Pistons. It was supposed to be a big Eastern Conference showdown with the two best teams in the East. Reggie was out with an injury, and he's trying to take care of everybody. It is a documentary worth watching. Today's a 17-year anniversary. Let's go over. So you disagreed with me about the Patriots. I believe they can win the Super Bowl. I wouldn't put them like atop my power rankings of teams that can, but I'll give you the teams that I believe can win a Super Bowl this year right now, and I want to see if you agree, if you would add, you would subtract. We'll go through that in 2 short minutes.